Why shouldn't you be dismissed or reassigned for the same reasons?
I own this football team. You don't dismiss owners.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive someday, so I can't guarantee it will be on our roster. So that goes for all of us.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Welcome to Cutter 49. My name is Tesh, and George Seifert still belongs in the Hall of Fame. I still got some nose, but we got Chrissy Chris in the house. Chrissy Chris, you drinking anything tonight?
Yeah, I'm on my shout out Chico, California, good times. Sierra Nevada, Torpedo.
Ooh.
They're a sponsor of the show.
Future sponsor.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And then we got the bags, and I don't think he's drinking anything tonight. He is.
Not tonight. No, this last 25 plus days. April 10th, though, we're popping off.
So it's been 25 plus days since you've had a swig?
No, it's been about 20 since I had a solid beer.
Really? Good for you, man.
I respect that month of Ramadan, man.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm holding it down for him.
Appreciate that.
Holding it down for him.
I respect that, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
much respect. Much respect.
It's like fandom, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how you grew up in the Bay Area and you're a Cowboys fan. Like,
facts.
Root for your team. Yeah. And so, Jamal, like, you're showing you're loyal and you're rooting for your team.
Sure. Struggling, but yeah.
Go team, go.
But no, man, I just, George Seifert, like, we talked about it three episodes in a row that he's done more than a lot of these coaches that are in the Hall of Fame. And you can say, like, all these coaches in the Hall of Fame had, like, Ferraris that they were driving. You know, I mean, you're only as good as the team that you coach, so.
Hey, I'll put it this way, Tesh. Your stamp of approval is 2 for 2 right now. Everybody did shout out, did get in the Hall of Fame. So, I'll give you that. But I'll say more slanted to the Frank Gore side, but, you know, it's Easter, so we'll still rock with this one more week of the Seifert talk. I respect it.
What's his name? The old linebacker for the Dolphins was Zach Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Zach Thomas got in, I was like, Patrick Willis is getting in. Hands down, Patrick Willis is getting in. So
yeah.
I was kind of upset when Jack Thomas got in because Zach Thomas got in. Like, you know, if Zach Thomas was in my house, I'd be like, hey, hell of a football player, man. But I'm just saying. But
hell yeah.
I just felt like his body of work, like the Dolphins in the time that he played football, could you ever say the Dolphins were like the best team in their division?
Never.
Never.
Never,
right?
Ever.
Right? Not even like the best defense or whatever. So I don't know. But you could say that Patrick Willis went toe-to-toe with the Legion of Boom and all he carried the defense while Frank Gore carried
all
offense.
Those are Hall of Fame defenses right there. Justin Smith, Alden Smith, Brooks, Hittner. Golston, shit, yeah, those were some good teams he played with. Bowman.
Yeah, if George Seifert was coaching, they'd win a Super Bowl.
Over Harbaugh?
Facts. Facts.
Jeez, calm down.
So the 49ers find themselves in a little bidding war with the one Brock Wright, backup tight end for the Detroit Lions, who will be in the mix next year for sure, trying to stop us to make it to the back to the Super Bowl. So I guess if you can't beat them, you can join them for Brock Wright. I think the Lions have till Monday to match the offer of 3 years, $12 million, which is exactly what Charlie Warner got. And the Niners did not want Charlie Warner. Instead, they have that money, and they're trying to allocate it to Brock Wright. Bags, what do you think about your boy Charlie Warner not making the team?
I'm cool with it. He was strictly like a blocking specialist, in my opinion. I don't think he had many receptions in his tenure with the 49ers. So this move kind of signals to me that they're looking for that second pass-catching option that they never had since Kittle's been here with us. And it's a low-risk, high-reward kind of payday also. 3 years, $12 million. Not much at all.
Not pretty.
Yeah, as I said, it might be a sneaky upgrade. You never know. If you're in the fantasy-wise, he had a couple good games. He was a good streaming tight end. He'd be more on the receiving side, I would say. I don't know about his blocking status, but I'll be with it. I mean, Charlie Warner, I mean, shoot. You couldn't, I mean, he hasn't done anything lately for us. So it might just be a sneaky upgrade. A good John Lynch signing.
Here we go. Charlie Warner, would you say he has more than 10 catches in his career? Yes or no?
I'd say yes.
Yes.
11.
11.
It's like 10 or 11.
Hey, he had 3 catches in 2020, 5 catches at 2021. So that's at 8. 2022, he had
zero
catches. 2023, he had 3 catches. So in his 4 years with the San Francisco 49ers, Charlie Warner had 11 catches.
Oh, sneaky under. Damn. That's called a bad beat right there. On the under. Damn. Or the over, my bad. The over.
Over 10. Damn. Over 10.
The over.
If we have any gamblers listening right now and you want something to help you out in winning some money, what I've done so far this year is I bet against the A's every game so far.
So they're boycotting. That's why they trying to stay in the Bay. I think the A's should stay. Right. I think that's a perfect team for Oakland.
I've been putting like $5 in every game for them, like, you know what I mean, for them to lose. And today they won 4-3, but I was telling Jamal a couple of days ago, like, I put in $5 one day and I got like $5.30 of my winnings.
So you got 35 cents and you're talking about it on a podcast.
Hey,
as a fellow gambler, if it ain't got 2 more zeros after that, or at least, you know what I'm saying?
Like, bounce, 50, he goes, look out.
So, yeah, man, what you buy? You going to Winter Central? You get a couple corn dogs with you, 35 cents.
So I think I'm just going to throw $5 at him every game. So you'll see what happens.
Tell me the bets. I'll make it.
I know this isn't a baseball podcast, but you win 60 and you lose 60. I think the A's are going to definitely lose a lot more.
Oh, yeah. That's more losing games. For sure.
I think.
Hey, but they always win on Sundays, though. Remember
that, the A's?
Their Sunday day game in the town, always. It hit different. That Sunday day game in the town. Check it out.
No, hopefully, I don't get no. There is a lot of 49er fans that are also A's fans. I've never really understood.
Never understood that. Never understood the Giants Raider fan. I never understood the Niners A's fan. I never understood that person. Like, where?
Identity crisis. It's a problem right there, you know?
that's the part where you lose me at, because I'm like, I don't see, like, if you're a Niners fan, you're most definitely a Giants fan. And if you're a Raider fan, you're most definitely an A's fan.
Maybe like half of it was SF, the other half was that Oakland logo. People be rocking those like proudly.
Oh, the hats! Those hats are stupid.
Yeah, they were cool, but then when you understand the culture and the rivalry, it's like, no, you got to choose a side, buddy. No Switzerland over here. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I'm glad we agree on that one. But go Giants!
I'm 49, baby.
Go Giants! Even though they got their butts kicked today.
Hey, but I'm impressed. I'm not gonna lie.
I definitely like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I didn't know who the hell none of these guys are. I can't tell you. But Chapman, I'm with you.
All right. So,
the Panda.
From the Oakland A's to Brandon Ayuk. You get it? Because his name starts with an A.
It's a reach.
It's a reach.
That's a first-time dad joke.
Brandon Ayuk. So I guess the 49ers did not get a trade that they were looking for, and then all of a sudden this week it's changed. So last week it was like, oh, they could be trading Brandon Ayuk. They could be trading Brandon Ayuk. See what if the Steelers wanted, it was a first round pick. Steelers and Brandon Ayuk. You got Brandon Ayuk tweeting Mike Tomlin saying they're twins. That's kind of like, I don't know, it's a little lame. You know what I mean? It's like you're trying to be desperate, like, oh, hey, we could be friends.
That's a little high school.
Yeah. I bet you Mike Tomlin doesn't even like control his own Twitter. I don't see Mike Tomlin as a Twitter person. I bet you Mike Tomlin can't even send an email. He's like one of those dudes.
Nah, he got somebody doing that. Yeah. And he's getting mad at that person when they do some dumb stuff. Yeah. I didn't say that. Well, you kind of did.
Jamal, I know you like Brandon Ayuk. How happy are you that the Niners are trying to figure out Brandon Ayuk's contract?
He's our number one receiver. I don't see any way we're trading him away to get a mid-round, first-round pick, a guy in return. It all comes down to money. I know he came out recently saying that he's trying to get what he deserves. Is that going to be 35 mil? It's going to be 30 million. We'll see how it goes, man. But we already got Debo on the book for 28 mil. He's got to know he can't be getting $30 million. I mean, he's got to be a team player. Got to figure it out, man.
All right.
Man, for real. Send him something.
Chris, is Ayuk better than Tyreek Hill?
On the Niners, yeah. <It's>, no, I mean, I'm keeping the bug, man. Not $35 million worth a year, man. Hell no.
Not in the, like on the Niners. Like I'm just saying, in the open market.
No. Yeah. I mean,
okay. Is he better than Davante Adams?
No.
Cooper Kupp.
Come on, now you guys are tripping now.
Cooper Kupp. Is he better than Cooper Kupp?
The right offense, the pass happy offense. Who's getting 2,000 yards easy?
Just stick with me. Is he better than Cooper Kupp?
They'd be in the same class. Low key.
Is he better than AJ Brown?
Same thing. I'd say the same class.
Is he better than AJ Brown?
He's not gonna say it. He's a better
receiver than AJ Brown. Yeah, we're talking as a better receiver.
Better skill set
receiver. He's the better receiver.
Stephon Diggs.
Route running, he's pretty good.
Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Okay. Just stick with me. DK Metcalf.
Yes.
Okay. So then that puts him in between 26 million. Or about 24 million and 26 million. That's where that.
I'm here for a 3-year, $75 million deal.
3 years, short and sweet.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm saying maybe like 77. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a little bit more than 25. But I'll say something like that. Short and sweet. You know what I mean? You only gotta give him 5 years. You know, one of them crazy deals. Low key, even. What about 2 for like 45? Like 2 for like 60 or something like that. Something short and sweet. Because, I mean, this run, you know, we say it every year. I mean, shit. That's something I would pertain. Like, I'm saying, no 5-year deal.
That's a very team-friendly deal. Like, the players will always look for the 4 or 5-year deal, right? But you give them the 5 years, whatever, 20 million per, 25 million per, but then you could do the team option after 2 years. You always got that in your back pocket. Let's go. I'm gonna throw another one at you guys. Trivia question: who is the highest? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Who is the 7th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL?
We know who it is.
Who is it, Bags?
We know who it is.
Who is it?
Don't say running Debo.
You know about running backs, right?
There's a wide receiver.
Debo Samuel,
number 7. He's making 23. He's making 23 million a year, rounded up to 24 million. He's about 71.5 million in total value.
So we're gonna have 2 top 10 paid receivers.
I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do it.
Not in our offense.
If he plays this year on the 5th year, on the 5th year number, I think it's like 10 million, maybe 12 million.
I think it's 15. I want to say it's like 15.
I think we could swing it if he plays on that number, but I don't know if he will.
That's cool.
He's trying to get that extension the next year.
I mean, I can't complain about job security. I mean,
you're talking about Ayuk, right?
Yeah. I know they got him for the year, so he's going to play to them regardless.
Unless we get a good trade offer. Because he'd be stupid to hold out. Because you don't get any better at not playing.
Debo's set to make $42 million this season.
Got him coming.
Damn. I love Debo. I love you, Debo. But God. I think
we're in agreement. So we found a receiver who can step in and replace him week one.
So the Niners have a buyout on Debo's contract after this season. So yeah, he's getting buyout. This season he'll make
28 cap number.
28. Yeah. He'll make I was reading the dead cap. So he'll make 28. Next year he'll make 24, but the Niners got a buyout after this season.
So that's smart right there, man.
Low key, I'm like, jeez.
Frog saw it, man. He's like, yeah, he ain't worth it.
Well, not if you get like another Jennings, you know what I'm saying? Get like a, Ronnie Bell might be better. another year. Maybe. I mean, shit, we might draft one this year.
Hey, all I got to say is Shanahan try to give Jennings a handoff against the Lions. So
hey, but he also gave him a handoff and threw a touchdown pass.
So he's already grooming. That. He's already grooming Jennings to take over for
Ryan. Hey, Jennings is that guy. What's that? What? Baby JJ Stokes?
You can't even say baby JJ Stokes. It was baby T.O., but you can't even say baby T.O. now. How many touchdowns has T.O. thrown in the Super Bowl?
None. He's got one, but he hasn't thrown one. As I said, baby JJ.
Yeah, he played with the
broken fibula. JJ.
Yeah, T.O. played with broken fibula in the Super Bowl.
Yep. For the Eagles. It didn't matter. They lost, just like we did.
Twice.
In the last 5 years of our life that we can remember. We can remember this shit.
We ain't bitter or nothing. We moved on.
Oh, hell no. I thought, hey, they didn't talk about that work. I'd be like, man, that band-aid is still on. That scar is still fresh. Just don't touch it.
Yeah, I don't think Terrell Owens has never thrown a pass in his career, so.
Nah, hell no. He's running that shit. Receiver pass, he's like, yeah. He's like, no, but I'm gone. It's like, you're supposed to throw it. Throw it.
So that's about 25 million to 28 million per year for Ayuk, but we threw the ball the least amount of times in the NFL, and you're gonna have two wide receivers in the top 10.
That doesn't even make any sense. Like business wise, you wouldn't even tell your best friend to do that. It's like,
and then you're not even thinking about how much you're paying George Kittle, right? Because George Kittle gets paid like a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think he's like top five paid.
You're going to have three people get paid to catch the ball, and you're throwing the least amount of times. It doesn't make sense. I can't back it up. Like, if to me, still, I'm with Jamal. If you're going to pay Ayuk, you got to trade Debo.
Draft day trade, huh? And not a world would be shook if Debo was traded. They would be shook.
He gets traded. I mean, I think the buyout's probably the most realistic option.
I would say probably this year. Maybe this year. This last year. Especially if he pulls only 7-8 games, you know, next year. Oh, man. They're already ready to write him off now. Because all that hollering he's doing and being a baby in the Super Bowl and shit. It's like, shit, come on, man. You can't have the name Debo and be soft. Shit. Just
Chris
like
said Friday. Not me. Chris said it, not me.
I said it. I'll say it. I'll tell you, that's the truth. A real Niner fan will tell you the truth. I mean, shit, that's why we're faithful, man. It's like, come on, man. You can't be doing all that barking, and then you the first one out crying for Trent Williams. Hey, come on. No, hell no. You started that fight, man. The hell? But we'll see. But he has it. If he only plays like 8-9 games next year, oh, we're coming for him. I'll tell you that right now. Ain't that right, Bags?
Oh, I've been done with him.
I don't. Hey, he's been AJ Brown for 3 years when he was on the Titans.
What'd you say, Bags?
I'm just saying it's the most realistic option is the buyout next year. I mean, it makes the most sense. You have Ayuk entering his big money years. You got Brady entering his big money years. The writing's on the wall. You know, Debo's got to go. Give him his one last year. See if he can get you something trade value, but I don't see it happening.
I mean, I could go 1 year with paying them both, and then you buy out Debo from there. Parag is in his bag. Parag is in his bag. So Chris alluded to a draft day trade, which the Niners have done before. But we got the draft with less than 1 month away. And I'm probably going to put it in towards the end of this podcast because I left my notes at work. If anybody at work is listening, no, I don't do my notes at work for the podcast. I just left it at work.
So strictly on lunch break.
It was on lunch break.
10-15 breaks. 10-minute breaks.
Yeah.
Never on duty.
Yep, never on duty. Wink, wink. But I left my notes, and I had like a sleeper defensive line that was going to be the next DJ Jones replacement, which I feel like we definitely need right now is a DJ Jones run stopper replacement. But Jamal said he had one guy and one guy only that he wants to draft. Who is it, Jamal?
I mean, this the one guy, but I think it's just the perfect guy. And it's going to be a right tackle out of Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton, who I'm pretty big on myself. I know he's starting to get a lot more hype right now, so he's looking like he might be like a middle to late first round pick, might be a little bit of our price range. But I mean, he's a freak of nature, 6'8", 300+ pounds, coming from the alma mater of Trent Williams. He can come in day one or a place called McKivitz at right tackle, in my opinion. I know he's 6'8". I know that's a little too tall for your right tackle or your left tackle, especially with those speed rushers who kind of bend the edge. But from what I've seen, I like his hips. I like his bend. I think he can hold himself, especially at right tackle. You have some George Kittle clipping out there or have a halfback to help him out a little bit. But at right tackle this past year, he had 600+ play snaps and gave up 0 sacks and 12 rushes in his first year right tackle. And that's pretty impressive for a first year starter.
How many times has he gotten 3-point snaps?
It doesn't matter.
I watch him, and then I just like a Shanahan. I'm not even talking about Kyle Shanahan. I'm talking about like Mike Shanahan. Like the Broncos back in the day would draft all these athletic dudes that can run outside zone, like in the 6th and 7th round. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan is doing now. And just looking at Guyton, he does not look like that type of tackle. You know who he reminds me of? And he could be really good for somewhere else, but not under Kyle Shanahan, is Trent Brown. You guys remember
Trent Brown? You're going to say that.
He just reminds me of Trent Brown. Like, Trent Brown, when he was here, he wasn't here during the Kyle Shanahan era, but he
left. No athleticism.
But he left, and he had a great career, and he's still having a great career. Like, I feel like he is definitely a NFL right tackle. I just don't think he is a Kyle Shanahan.
You got to have some good hips.
Yeah, I think he's got good enough hips, though. He might not be the prototypical zone blocking tackle, but I think you can work with it. And honestly, I do. He got the size, got the demeanor. I mean, he ran a 5.1940 at 320+ pounds. I mean, the guy can move.
Yeah, but they drafted the left guard from Notre Dame. What's his name?
Aaron Banks.
Aaron Banks. So Aaron Banks came in. They said that he was too fat, and so he had to sit the first season. Lose all that weight, change his whole body up for him to play. Like, you're going to bring in guy in, and you're going to be like, here's some swim flash, big boy.
He's become a real solid left guard for us. And guy has to come in week one either. I mean, you got McKibbitz there for another year. Have him sit. But I think he beats him out, honestly. I really think he's going to be a week one starter, right tackle.
All right. I mean, I have been wrong before, and you have been right.
But... Vice versa.
And then one that comes out of my mind is you're right about Lincoln Tomlinson.
From Duke. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you wanted to draft him, and then you're super hyped, and we got him, and I was like, I don't even know who this is, and he was pretty good.
Hell yeah. I wish we had him on the team last year.
I was just looking it up right now. I don't know if anybody picked him up yet.
No, he's on the Jets, ain't he?
They let him go.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
He's a captain.
He's still out there. Tyrone. For real.
So that was the one guy Guyton that Jamal says, and I will be surprised. Well, I'll be surprised if Guyton was there at number 31. We're gonna number 31. Not
32. Not 32.
Mention. Oh, something we had 32. Would you say, Jamal? You got cut off.
Oh, we're just saying he's been getting a lot of hype since the combine, so he might have to trade up for him a little bit to get him now.
Yeah, I would rather trade back.
In the second round?
Yeah, no, I would rather trade back to the second round. No, I'll be all – you think I'm joking around with you? I would rather trade back.
We got to go up, not down.
I'd rather go back down to the 5th round.
I support that.
Man, pass the cup around, man. Let me tell you one time. Shit. What the hell are you talking about?
That's where John Lynch and them, they make the living on the 5th round.
They do it from us next year, too. They're after us.
Shit. You guys are crazy.
All right. Chris, you had a couple guys that you want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of interior defensive linemen. Just in case that might be around in your – and what you're saying, like the 5th round, since you want to give up the first 4 rounds, and just go straight to the 5th round. So let me give you some of those 5th round gems. But – No, I'm saying like a Mason Smith from LSU. He's a good good interior lineman. He's got good size on him, 6'6", 315. He's had 15 tackle for losses, and he's athletic. There's a guy from Florida State, Brendan Fiske, I think his name is Fiske or Fisk. He'll probably be like a maybe late to maybe second round pick. He had a lot of people were talking about him. That's kind of a gritty interior lineman, kind of like a Kyle Williams, the interior lineman, kind of scrappy. And then for the edge, which I still think we need to have a replacement or a number two pass rusher, I would say my man Gabe Murphy from UCLA, the other pass rusher from UCLA. He's pretty good. He got good size on him. I think he might be around in the second or third round pick. And my man Braylon Trice from Washington, that's the guy I'm really hoping the Niners can get. A sneaky first, maybe late first round pick that might be around, because he had 11 and a half tackle for losses and 7 sacks. So, and he has a nice little juice off the edge.
So the one guy, like if from the whole list, if you could get one guy, it would be that Brandon Trice.
Probably Braylon Trice, yeah. That'd probably be the guy. Probably a better what's my man's name from USC that is a bust right now?
Drake Jackson.
Kind of that type of prospect, kind of hype, I would say. But I think he might he has a better bend, I would say. And he's a little bit more lankier. I would say Drake Jackson is a little bit more more stiff, I would say.
Okay. We definitely need some help. I feel like the Niners have tried to hit the defensive line in free agency, and they spend a lot of money in free agency on defensive line that I think in the offense, I think, or on the draft early, I think they're going to go offensive line. But we shall see. They go defensive line almost every single year with the first pick overall that they have. So
not this year, though.
This year, I think this year they need to go cornerback. It's a solid.
It's guiding at 31. That's the only move I have to make.
Well, I would say best player available. That I would say best player available.
Which is guiding.
It depending on how the draft works, because like I said, we're picking at the bottom. That's like if you do fantasy draft and you end up with the last pick, it's kind of like, well, I can't really go off my strategy. I got to base everything off of everybody else's moves. So that might be like
663 snaps and 12 pressures.
Well, you got to look at the offense.
But he might go on the 12. What happens if he's the 12th pick? He's gone.
He won't be, though. He's too raw. He'll be a 31.
But you got to look at what type of offense Oklahoma runs. They're running like
spread.
The like five plays in 30 seconds. You know what I mean?
That air raid.
They're definitely air raid. They're a high tempo team. They're just closing their eyes and just blocking air.
You know who we should get if he's there? Get my man Nate Wiggins, Clemson corner, 6'2", Richard Sherman clone, fast.
You gotta save that. Save that for the corner, the DB.
I got a whole list of them. D lineman was, like I said, I hope we get Chop. If Chop Robinson falls, that's what I really hope we get, but I don't think he's gonna fall that far.
Chop Robinson from
Penn State,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, oh man, that'd be the perfect Chase Young that we didn't get right there.
All right, I finally got my notes here. We'll start off with the defensive tackles. The defensive ends, I did not really take a look at. Of course, there's the Chop Robinson. A couple guys I really like, though, on the defensive end side is Trojan Jeffcourt from Arkansas, Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan, Ayabi Okui Anoma from North Carolina, Charlotte. Now, these guys are, I guess you could say, athletes. Athletes playing defensive end. They all need some type of work, and they're going to be late picks in the draft. But I feel like the Niners have addressed the defensive ends, and we still got Drake Jackson that needs to develop. And if I feel like wasting a pick on a defensive end right now isn't the best suitable option for the Niners. So the defensive tackles, I got one guy that really stood out for me, well, actually, let me save him. I like T'Vondre Sweat from Texas. He's a big boy. I like him. He's a plug stopper. He's hard to move. He's not going to do the extra take on two gaps at one time. But what he will do is he'll make sure his gap is accounted for. And if anybody's trying to run up that gap, he will hold his ground. Great pad level. But the guy that I really like, and I haven't seen a lot of people talk about him. He's not projected in any of the first three rounds. But McKinney Jackson from Texas A&M. The guy's got a great motor. He might be a little undersized, but so was DJ Jones, and he held his ground. I feel like this could be a DJ Jones substitute. I feel like he's got a high upside, high motor, can move, low pad level, everything that you're looking for in a defensive tackle, I think, is right here in McKinley Jackson, Texas A&M. Definitely saying his first name wrong. Offensive tackles, Jamal touched on it. He wanted Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. I got some notes here. It says, lazy but can be good. He's never been on that three-point stance. Two guys that I like is Frank Crum. Frank Crum here is, I forgot what college he's from, so let me Google it real fast. I know it doesn't make good radio, but when you're running it solo, as I am because I forgot my notes, Wyoming. He's definitely a run stopper or a run blocker. I don't see him being a tackle in the island type of guy, but one guy that I do really like is Roger Rosengarten from Washington, I think. Let me double check that before I give you guys the wrong information. Roger Rosengarten, Washington. I really like him a lot. The Huskies, they had a hell of a season. And they let this man on an island. He struggles against speed, but Washington basically said that we'll leave you one-on-one and you handle your business. Definitely like him. He can really move. That's something what the Niners are looking for. So Roger Rosengarten and McKinley Jackson are two guys that I hope the Niners spend some draft capital for.
So speaking of draft, one former 49ers coach, Jim Harbaugh, is trying to do his thing again. He is trying to really push his boy, J.J. McCarthy, in the top four. And you got to believe that he's trying to get Marvin Harrison Jr. to fall to number five. There's no way.
Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers? I don't know, Jamal, would you – you tell me, Jamal. You're a wide receiver expert. Would you Marvin Harrison Jr. or Brock Bowers?
Right now,
the Chargers.
You're saying Brock Bowers is like the best tight end prospect to come out a while, good long while. But Marvin Harrison, I mean, he's got the bloodline. He's a legit number one coming out of Ohio State. But honestly, I think you can find a receiver in any round. So if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm going Brock Bowers over Harrison personally.
Here's my counter. Who was the last great tight end drafted?
Gronk, Kittle, Kelsey, Laporta, Hossenstein.
Well, I was gonna go with George Kittle, but Laporta's a good one. Laporta was a first round pick, but George Kittle was a fifth round pick. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what that means. Like, the best prospect tight end ever, like. What does that even mean?
R.I.P. Aaron Hernandez.
I mean, body of work, his production, his skill set, it just hasn't been it's not measurable.
I mean, Travis Kelce is still killing the game.
But even Kelce wasn't the first round pick.
No, he was. He was third.
Yeah, you're third. He was a third round pick. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at the two best tight ends in the NFL, one was a third, one was a fifth. Like, don't get me wrong. I hope for Brock Bowers as well because he's from Napa, Bay Area guy. But
yeah, it sure is. But, it sure is.
I just think when you have like these prospects, like Marvin Harrison Jr. is supposed to be legit. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's legit. I mean, he's so legit. He didn't even have to test. He ain't doing no combine, no pro day. He's just like, hey, man, call me on draft day.
And then what's that LSU wide receiver? It's supposed to be.
Oh, what's it? Nibs? Nabbers? Neighbors? Something like that.
Neighbors.
Yeah, but he looked good, man. I'm not going to lie. Shit. If that's the type of receiver you want, I wouldn't be mad if you passed on Marvin Harrison Jr. He looked good, and he ran a smooth 40. And you know them LSU receivers always go. You know they always going to hit.
How's it go?
Jimmy Tansula, Jimmy Tansula. Open up my shirt like Jimmy Tansula. Got the gold chain on like Jimmy Tansula.